And we're going to look at a few scriptures together tonight in Mark's Gospel and in John's Gospel. I want to start in Mark chapter 2. They're well-known passages. There's just a few brief comments we want to make and draw some illustrations which we hope will challenge us, particularly those of us who have never come and accepted Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Maybe this is not the first time you've heard the Gospel. In fact, I'm sure it probably isn't. But my friend, it may well be the last. You know, not one of us sitting here tonight can promise anyone else in this building or anyone else in this world that we'll see tomorrow's sunrise. Something to think about. You know, we become so blasé almost, don't we, about what we're going to do. I mean, this afternoon I was making frantic phone calls out to Western Queensland. I've got to fly out to Charleville tomorrow morning. Haven't found the room to sleep in yet at Charleville, but that's alright. We'll sort something out when we get out there. If I get out there, I may not even be here tomorrow morning, because the Lord might come. So all my consternation about where I'm going to spend Monday evening is for no avail. What I am promised, my friend, and what you are promised, is this very moment at which you are living. Nothing more and nothing less. That's all God gives us. This day, this moment, this time. I want you to understand that. Because if you understand that, and as you understand that, you'll understand the importance of what the Scripture says, that today is God's day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. But let's look at some of the things that we can learn about sin in the Scriptures. Now tonight I'm going to use the New Living Translation. It's a recent Tyndale publication. I like using it in preaching the Gospel. I want to look at Mark chapter 2, and we're going to start reading from verse 1. Several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and news of his arrival spread quickly through the town. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there wasn't room for one more person, not even outside the door. And he preached to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they dug through the clay of the roof above his head. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there said to themselves, "What? This is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were discussing amongst themselves, so he said to them, "Why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk'? I'll prove to you that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, take up your mat and go home, because you are healed." The man jumped up, took the mat and pushed his way through the stunned onlookers. Then they all praised God. "We have never seen anything like this before," they exclaimed. The story of a lame man. He's not the only one recorded in New Testament times that our Lord Jesus Christ touched and healed. But he typifies to me the circumstance that surrounds every sinner, a lame man, a man who cannot do anything for himself. But you know, there are so many people who are so bound by sin tonight that they cannot walk away from it. They've tried. Oh, how they've tried. Sadly, on Friday, I was out with one of the reps that worked for the company that I'm working for. She's a middle-aged woman. I was going to say old, but she's not. She's only 41, so she's middle-aged. She has an eldest son. An eldest son who is in his late 20s. An eldest son who has caused many, many nights of sleepless tears as Margaret wonders what she's going to do with this prodigal son. Barry, for that's his name, spends last night and tonight, and probably will spend the next 10 nights in the Arthur Gorrie Correctional Centre. You see, Barry, when he was in school, got involved with drugs. It was just going to be something that he'd just try. I mean, his mates were doing it. And what little harm was there in a bit of smoking, a bit of grass, a bit of marijuana? But sadly for Barry, it affected him in such a way that it went from simple marijuana, if there is such a thing, and that's a conundrum, that's an Irish expression, there is no such thing as simple drugs, but you know what I mean. Now he's on heroin. Now he shoots needles into his arms. Now he bashes people and robs so that he can fix his habit. His dear long-suffering parents have long ago stopped giving him the money that was required for his bail and to get him out of trouble, because that money would only ever go on drugs. 2 weeks ago, there was a robbery in North Queensland, a house breaking, and a man was bashed in the house. Barry was looking for some money. They finally caught him on Friday. And as I was out with Margaret, the phone call came. "We have your son at Roma Street." And she said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "He's going to Arthur Gorrie." She said, "Okay." That's it. And she poured out a story of a young man who was so entrapped by the power of drugs that he simply wasn't able to walk away from it. He's been in rehab 3 times. He's moved into state, he's changed his address, he's changed his friends, but it keeps coming back. It's like sin. See, it's just, you never get away from it. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you haven't gone that far. Maybe you're only a young person and you've got away with telling a few little fibs now and then. You know, you've told Mum you were doing something when you weren't doing something. You told Mum, "No, I didn't take it," when you knew you took it. And isn't it true that each time you do that, it gets a little easier to do it the next time? That's sin working in your life. And my friend, I'll tell you this, if you continue like that, there will come a time when you won't be able to walk away from it. This man was lame. He couldn't walk away from sin. Oh, the Satan, the tempter, gets to us when we're very young. Why? Because he knows if he can trip us up when we're young, he'll have us for the rest of our lives. We're powerless to resist. The scriptures tell us in Psalm 5, 51 I think it is, that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now if that was the only story we had to tell you tonight, that would be the most miserable, depressing story that any preacher could ever preach. But thank God it's not. Because the story that we just read in Scripture says that there was a man who couldn't do anything for himself. He was lame. He was lying on a mattress. Goodness knows how long he'd been there. God alone knows. Probably from early life, early childhood. But he had 4 friends. And I'll thank God for friends. Thank God for family who are Christians. Thank God for those who are concerned about our welfare, those who are concerned about our spiritual well-being. And so tonight you find yourself sitting in this building. You find yourself amongst other Christians, those who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour. This building may not be as packed as the house we read about in the New Testament. Fortunately, they haven't taken the roof off. I don't know how well this roof is constructed, but it would probably be a lot more harder to do that than it was in the days in which our Lord was living. But these friends were determined that their friend who was paralysed, their friend who was lame, their friend who could do nothing for himself was going to be brought face to face with the one person who could let him walk again. That was Jesus Christ. My friend, if you've never accepted him as your Saviour, but you're sitting here tonight, that's the reason you're sitting here tonight, because there's someone in this room who's been praying for you for a long time. There's someone in this room who's worried about your soul's eternal welfare. And so they've brought you to the gospel meeting. They want you to meet Jesus Christ, the one who is able to say to this man, "Your sins are forgiven. Stand up and walk." Sin paralyzes. Sin makes it impossible for us to do anything for ourselves. Let's look again. Go over to Mark chapter 8. That's one of the effects of sin in our life. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Well, chapter 7 first. Since 7 comes before 8. I don't think that's changed since I went to school. But in Mark chapter 7, I want to look at the last few verses from verse 31. Again, this is an incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 7:31. Jesus left Tyre and went to Sidon, then back to the Sea of Galilee and the regions of the 10 towns, or the region known as Decapolis, which is what Decapolis means, 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him to a private place away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears, then spitting onto his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue with the spittle. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and commanded, "Be opened." Instantly the man could hear perfectly and speak plainly. Instantly the man could hear perfectly and speak plainly. You know, another thing that sin does in our lives, it causes us not to hear, and it takes away sometimes the ability for us to cry out for help. Barry has long given up crying for help. He's tried 3 times and it hasn't worked. His mum and dad have long given up trying to do something for their son. To them he is a hopeless case. But I want to tell you tonight, just as we talked to Margaret on Friday, just as if I was poured into the presence of young Barry, I'd tell him the same thing. In God's sight, there is no hopeless case. There is no hopeless case. The man we've just read about in Mark chapter 7 couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. You know, perhaps you've been a sinner for so long that you've just closed your ears to the gospel. Oh, you hear the words, but they don't penetrate. You know, my dad used to have a saying, and I'm sure all parents have the same. You know how kids sometimes get distracted and you don't really listen? He said it used to go in one ear and out the other. Sadly, you know, sometimes when we're listening to the gospel, that's exactly what happens. Because we're not really interested. We don't think it applies to us. So we don't hear. But oh, how sad if sin takes such a hold of our life that we lose the ability to cry out, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." For that is the one cry that will come from the lips of one who is brought face to face with the reality of sin in their life that the God of heaven longs to hear. And although it may be just whispered on death's door, God will hear it. But my friend, I'd like to invite you tonight to shout it. Right where you're sitting. "Lord, save me," says Peter. As he realizes he's sinking, as he does something that he's never done before, stepping outside of the boat and walking on the water as he looks to the master. Perhaps you realize that you're sinking in the mire of sin in your life. Loosen your tongue. Cry out, "Lord, save me." You know, it's sad when we don't hear the warning sounds that are given by our parents and by our loved ones. But it happens, doesn't it? I remember many years ago, one of the things that I used to love doing. We lived on about halfway down a nice steep hill in Sydney. And I used to like coming down the hill. The daredevil in every child, I guess. Down the hill as fast as you could on your bike, hang a hard left over the driveway, down the drive, round the back of the house. And every time my mother would see me doing it, she'd tell me not to do it because one day I'd have a stack. I'd smash it up and I'd hurt myself. She was right. I did. 7 stitches, a smashed up face and a couple of broken teeth. See, I never listened. Didn't take notice of the warning.
Perhaps there have been those in your life, my friends, who have told you that sin is going to have a consequence. Sin is going to bring its own reward. And in the end, my friend, that reward is going to be separation from God. That reward is going to be eternity in the tormental flames of hell. Because that's what the scriptures tell us. But tonight you have an opportunity. Right now, right where you're sitting, you have an opportunity. An opportunity to hear. To listen again to that still small voice of your God-given conscience that will remind you that yes, we are all sinners. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, be it large sins or small sins. You're still a sinner. But thanks be to God that God's love, God's grace, God's mercy covers all sin. It covers your sin right where you're sitting right now. The deaf man was made to hear and he was made to speak. That can be your experience tonight, my friend, if you're prepared to come to the foot of the cross and accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus and they begged him to touch and to heal the man. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I can see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands over the man's eyes again. As the man stared intently, his sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." A blind man. You know, one of the great devastating things about sin in our life, my friend, and about the effect of sin, is that it blinds us to the results of sin. Sinner cannot understand or see what sin is doing, not only to him, but to those around about him. Barry is completely oblivious of the pain and the suffering and the anguish that he gives his mother Margaret and her husband Paul. Of the financial strain that they have had over the years as they've endeavoured to save Barry from the ravages of drug dependence. That may be an extreme example, my friend. But let me tell you, no matter how young you are, whenever your mum and your dad find out that you've told a lie, you know it really hurts them. It hurts them deep within. Whenever you do something that is wrong, whenever you're disobedient, it hurts. And it hurts them in ways that you will never understand. Because that's what sin does. Not only does it affect you, it affects everyone around about you. This man was blind. He couldn't see where sin was taking him. But let me tell you something tonight, my friend. And it's not something that I've made up. It's not something that I believe has been put in the Word of God to scare us. It's been put in the Word of God because it's God's truth. And God's truth is that one day he created hell. He created it for the devil and his angels. But if you continue in your sin, my friend, and if you continue to reject God's offer and love and mercy, he has no option but to condemn you to hell. It's sad, but it's true. It's the truth of the Word of God. Can you see that tonight, my friend? Can you see that tonight? Or can it be said of you, as Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine forth upon them. Oh, my friend, our prayer tonight is that the light of that glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will dawn upon your heart and upon your conscience and upon your soul, so that you might be brought face to face with the reality of sin in your life, of the enormity of sin in the sight of God's eyes, a God who is holy, a God who is righteous, a God who cannot bear to look upon sin. Our prayer is that you might have your eyes open so that you tonight might see one who loved you with a love that we'll never be able to describe, that we'll never be able to measure, that we'll never be able to plumb the depths of. One who was prepared to go all the way to Calvary. One whose hands and feet were pierced. One who had a crown of thorns placed on his head. A Roman lash that ploughed its furrows across his back. That one was God's Son, Jesus Christ. And he loved you enough to endure all the physical agony of Calvary so that you tonight might be free from the bondage and the penalty of sin. I want to close with just a few words out of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 11. Again, it's a well-known passage of Scripture. We haven't the time to go into it all. Let's just read a few verses together. John chapter 11, verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, the one you love is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this." Let's go down for the sake of time to verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "when everybody else rises on Resurrection Day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Do you believe this, Martha?" "I am the resurrection and the life." You know, every sinner, regardless of the depth of their sin or the depravity of their sin, every sinner is dead in the eyes of God. Paul reminds the Ephesians that when he says we are all dead in trespasses and in sin. I was no different. Those sitting next to you tonight, my friend, are no different. You see, the Scriptures tell us very clearly there is no difference, for all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So tonight, we tell you on nothing less than the authority of the Word of God that sin leads to death. In the end, eternal death. Tonight, God simply views you as one who is dead in trespasses and in sin. But there is opportunity. Because tonight God extends to you, the individual, his love and his mercy. He extends to you an offer of salvation, full and free. And it's only possible because his Son, Jesus Christ, died on Calvary's cross. His Son, Jesus Christ, had his hands pierced and his feet pierced. He had his side pierced. And there was there with the Scriptures tell us, a flood of blood and water. And it's got the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able tonight to cleanse you of every sin. To set you free from the bondage of sin. To give you eyes to see and ears to hear, a mouth to speak, and feet to walk. All that sin has taken away from you, my friend, can be restored tonight if you're prepared to accept Jesus Christ by faith. But the question is, do you really want to? Do you really want to? Do you believe that God one day will condemn those who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Saviour to an eternal death of punishment. Not non-existence. You'll be alive. You'll appreciate and understand the gospel as you've heard it time and time again. You, I believe, will remember this message better than I probably will in 5 days' time. But you'll be tormented in the flames of hell. And that recurring theme will come back. Why did I not accept? Why did I close my ears? Why did I not simply accept Jesus Christ by faith as my Lord and my Saviour? That's what the Gospel's all about, my friend. Jesus Christ, God's Son, loved you enough to die on Calvary's cross. He shed His blood so that you and I might have every sin that we have ever committed, every sin that we are ever likely to commit, cleansed. We're made whiter than the snow in the presence of God when we plunge under that crimson flood that flowed from Calvary's cross. The opportunity, my friend, is yours right now. What's your answer going to be? Are you going to continue in sin? Are you perhaps going to reject yet again the message of salvation? Remember what I said at the beginning of this little meeting. You and I are promised this moment of time and this moment only. The scriptures tell us not to boast of tomorrow, for we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We may have plans, but how often those plans are changed by the intervention of God. I cannot tell what is going to happen to every one of us here tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. If the Lord tarries next week, God knows. Perhaps sadly there will be some who will never hear the gospel again. Now is God's day of salvation, my friend. Right here, right now. Just bow humbly in His sight. Just quietly acknowledge that you are a sinner in the sight of God. That there is nothing you can do of yourself. Sin has crippled you. Sin has blinded you. Sin has made you deaf. Sin will eventually lead to death, eternal separation from an all-loving God. Acknowledge your sinnership in His sight and ask His forgiveness, claiming that blood that was shed at Calvary as God's answer to sin in your life. We do pray that you will do so while there's still time and opportunity.